Tiki Barber joins us now, and I wonder, I know, I kid, right? I say, hurt the quarterback, that's how your team has an opportunity to win, and I wonder what it's like on the other sidelines. Obviously, this is good for Minnesota that Green Bay's quarterback is hurt. Tiki Barber, when you're looking from the other side of the field and the opponent gets hurt, how do you feel?
If it's the best player in the league, you feel relieved that at least we have a chance to win this game. But you do feel bad because the league is losing the best player in a sense. And it's almost like, to be honest, you're like, all right, be hurt enough not to play the rest of this game, but be okay. You know what I mean? Type of feeling. Because we're all brothers in the National Football League, and you hate to see guys go down. It's going to change their seasons. And I don't think this is career-threatening for for Aaron Rodgers, but it's devastating for the Green Bay Packers. Because Brett Hundley, as much as they like him coming out of UCLA, and he looks the part, and physically, it could be viable. He's not confident at all and can do nothing near what Aaron Rodgers does for this team.
I do believe it's more safe than ever to play this professional football thing, Tiki. And at the same time, we're seeing an unusual amount, especially of lower body injuries. That's not what Aaron Rodgers went through. And yet at the same time, the superstars, the Texans don't miss a beat without J.J. Watt. Odell Beckham's out, and the Giants moved the ball fantastically against Denver last night. Like, injured players, Dalvin Cook even, the Vikings aren't missing him as much as we thought. What do you see from all these teams succeeding without supposedly their best? It tells you what a team sport it is, first of all.
Well, yeah, of course. It tells you the importance of depth, right, and also a plan B. Now, in the case of the Giants, you mentioned last night, and that surprising road win over the Denver Broncos, it was more about getting back to fundamentals and doing the things that I think they've been doing to win football games for decades, which is run the ball, right? Finally, Orleans Darkwild goes over 100 yards with 117 and a touchdown. I think the biggest thing for the Giants is that they pulled Ben McAdoo away from the play calling duties and handed over to offensive coordinator Mike Sullivan, who's been there he was there when I was there. It tells you how far back he goes. So he knows the value, and he stayed regular in his run pass balance. And as a result, some of those plays downfield were available for Eli, even though you're not going to Odell Beckham. You're just going to a tight end who basically is a wide receiver in Evan Ingram. But you can't do those things, and you can't maximize what Eli is good at unless you run the ball, even if it's to failure, but you have to run the ball. They had success doing it against a very good defense. When you look at the Minnesota Vikings, you talk about Dalvin Cook's injury, Jerry McKinnon has always been a viable alternative, right, as a runner. And in fact, he probably would have been a good starter this year in Adrian Peterson's stead. Instead, Dalvin Cook came in and stole the job from him. So they haven't really missed that much with the injuries. And so I think for both of those teams and for others, except for the Green Bay Packers at this point, because they lost their two tackles again, one to a concussion and one to a hamstring, it's about depth. Mm-hmm. And if you have depth and your GM has done a good job, you can survive them, at least in the short term.
While one New York team wins on the road, the other loses at home. And very disappointing. I mean, the Jets are not supposed to be on the same field with the New England Patriots, but there they are. They have an early lead, and then a call goes against them. It's a call that no one can seem to understand how the referees and even the replay, how they come to the conclusion they did. A fumble that looks like a Jets touchdown is completely turned around on them.
Yeah, no, it really was. Austin Severin Jenkins had a great game for the New York Jets. Obviously, scoring the first touchdown and getting off that 14-0 start at home. That place was rocking over at MetLife with the Patriots in town. But from what I understand, it feels right, even though if you're a Jet fan, you're hating this and you're blaming this loss solely on the referees. When you lose control of the football and then you cross the goal line, even if you recover it. And you're out of if you recover and you're out of bounds, there's no place for them to set you back. You know what I mean? So it's like, all right, you fumbled and you recovered, but you're out of bounds. So where do we bring the ball back to? It's not to the point of the fumble. It's got to be at the point of the recovery. But the recovery's out of bounds, but not in the end zone. The only thing you can do is make it a touchback. And that was a difference maker. Obviously, you lose by 7 points, and that would have tied the game. Now, Tom Brady likely would have gone down and figured out a way to win the game, but at least you feel like you didn't lose it not on your own behalf. You lose it because of the referee's decision, not your own play.
How do you view the AFC East? We were prepping the show last night, and I said, I know New England hasn't looked great, but they earn enough credit in the bank to believe that they'll be there and they'll get it done and they'll walk through this division. And I'm holding history against the other three teams. There's some weird playoff wins when Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan were there. Outside of that, Buffalo hasn't made the playoffs in 19 years. The Dolphins have only made it twice in 16, haven't won in 18. So those three teams they all have three wins right now, but they all just feel like also-rans. Something will go wrong for those three squads, right?
Look, yeah, we know the New England's defense is horrible. I mean, relative to where they've been even just a year ago, they are pathetic. Josh McCown, and I like Josh. I think he's a smart kid. He's local here, right? He lives right down the street from me here in Forum Park. But he's over 354 yards.
Yeah.
This is Josh McCown we're talking about. He didn't win a game for, like, you know, 4 years, it felt like. And so their defense is compromised. But they have Tom Brady. And Tom Brady always figures out a way to do something miraculous. And the case in point in this game was right before halftime. They're down 7 points. McCown throws his first interception of the game with 35 seconds to go. They have 56 or 60 yards to go. 35 seconds left in the game. New England Patriots go down. They score a touchdown right before halftime. It's a tie ball game. They get the kickoff to start the second half. They come right down the field, and all of a sudden it's 21-14, right? You thought you're going into halftime at least 14-7 New York Jets, or maybe even 17-7 New York Jets, and 3-4 minutes after halftime it's 21-14. It's like, what happens, right? That's the power of Tom Brady, the quick change ability, the I'm going to snatch your heart out of your chest just when you think you have a chance, Tom Brady. And that's what he did with the Jets. He flipped the script on this game right around the halftime mark, and it made a big difference. But that's the difference between really good teams that continually get deep into the playoffs, into the Super Bowl, and average to bad teams that don't take those plays as seriously as the ones that matter at the end of games or at the beginning of games.
How difficult is it for quarterbacks and teams to change offensive coordinators from one season to the next, especially when they have been successful previously? So Atlanta was successful. They changed their guy.
Yeah.
The Raiders go from Bill Musgrave to Todd Downing, and I noticed that they may not be as comfortable in the way they go about their business because the Raiders looked kind of out of sync yesterday. Again.
Yeah, they did look. They look very out of sync again. Now, you could chalk some of it up to Derek Carr not being as, you know, physically able to be the athlete that he's always been. But I didn't feel that was the situation. I feel like the Raiders just they're on a different page from coordinator to quarterback. And when Derek Carr is not, you know, you're getting close to clipping 200 yards, you know something's off on an offense that has Michael Crabtree, who's having a resurgence, not really a resurgence, but he's having a fantastic season so far. Amari Cooper, who's having a horrible season. So they're not getting, you get the sense they're not getting him the ball in similar ways that they were last year. It takes some adjustment, right? You see the same thing with Atlanta, certainly. I mean, Matt Ryan was MVP last year of the National Football League. He's got as many interceptions as he does touchdowns. And you look at that game, it was embarrassing that Atlanta lost that game after leading 17-0 at halftime over the hapless Miami Dolphins, who couldn't score if they played on a 20-yard field. But they found a way to beat them in the second half. And so there is something about getting comfortable with this new player, in the offense, meaning a new coordinator. The Raiders haven't done it yet, and Atlanta hasn't done it yet. The reason it worked, interestingly, for the New York Giants with Mike Sullivan, who takes over, you know, put that in quotes, takes over play calling duties for Ben McAdoo, is because Coach Sullivan has been there for almost a decade, right? So he knows Eli intimately, and there's no new adjustment period like there was in Oakland, or certainly like there has been in Atlanta.
So let's circle back before we go on Green Bay and Rodgers and where you think their opportunity lies. I want to see Hundley, and I'm actually excited to see him because they've made an investment. We always think, we did this with Garoppolo at the start of last year, and we did this when Big Ben was suspended, and you had guys like Charlie Batch and Dennis Dixon from Oregon winning games. We all just think there's this massive drop. We know what Rodgers means, but is there going to necessarily be a massive drop-off if Hundley starts getting the reps and the snaps and gets comfortable?
I don't think it's going to be a massive drop off because he's not a risk taker. You know, he did throw three interceptions in this game, but a lot of those because they were trying to come back as the game was tight. But he's a safe quarterback and he's an athlete, and so he possesses some of the same abilities that Aaron Rodgers does, but he's just not efficient, right? And so when he gets into that moment where he has to make a play, you're not automatically thinking, oh, this play is happening. I don't care if it's a Hail Mary that we need. This play is happening. That was the thought with Aaron Rodgers. That's not going to be the case with Brett Hundley. And so as a result, all of the other pieces are going to have to pick themselves up. Their run game is going to have to get more effective. Ty Montgomery is going to have to stay healthy. As we all know, he's been banged up this season. This young kid, Aaron Jones, that they brought in, they drafted last year, this past April, is going to have to become a dynamic player. And they're just going to have to pick him up around him. Otherwise, this Green Bay team is going to falter. And they're still sitting at 4-2, so they're still atop the division. But there's so much happening around them. Minnesota's getting better, obviously, even without Sam Bradford. The Chicago Bears, not to say that they're a threat, but Mitch Trubisky looked pretty damn good yesterday, especially a couple of those throws that he made. And Detroit's one of those teams that, you know, despite their losses, they're always in games. You know, they were getting blown out by the Saints, but somehow, you know, they only lost by 7. So this division is going to be tough on a quarterback who can't do it consistently, and that's what you have to watch out for with Brett Hundley.